The monitor, just so wonderful to see you all again. It's so awesome to be able to worship. And in case anyone is wondering, the restrictions have been lifted off finally. And so the moment that we all have been waiting for, the greatest news that we have always been waiting for the over the past year and a half, is finally here. And so I'm so glad to be able to worship together with you. This is probably the last time that we'll be able to virtually see each other. But in the next few more weeks, and as we transition back to the new normal, I trust that we're able to find the time, the opportunities, and embrace and cherish all our moments together to worship freely and to fellowship with God and His people. So this is the greatest news. We have been going through Genesis for the past little while in the past few weeks, and Pastor Carla last week spoke on God remembering us, God remembering Noah. And that really stands out to me, because not because God forgot about Noah or he ignored him, but because he remembered the covenant, the promise that he made to Noah and his family. And then we read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you." Now, this covenantal language can be found elsewhere in the Bible. In the case of Abraham, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he also remembered Abraham. So, being on the surface of the earth for 150 days, or in this case, equivalent to 5 months, in the middle of nowhere and on the ocean, this probably would have been a hard thing, a difficult thing for Noah to ponder. Noah would have probably wondered when the water will recede, when he will be able to come out of the ark. So at this point, it's very clear unclear for him, and you know, the journey that he was called to embark on by God. Now, excuse me, I have an uncle and he's a sailor, and so if you know anything about a sailor, it's basically they work in the ship. On the ship, and then they sleep on the ship, and basically that's part of their employment, is that that's what they do, traveling from one location to another and on the ocean. And so a lot of times they spend 2 to 3 months, you know, being away from home, being away from the family, sometimes can be even longer. And so for no one to find himself in this situation here is also for 150 days and like 5 months, that's a long time, not knowing where he was going to go. When he was going to be able to come out of the ark. You and I probably also would have wondered the same thing as well. The same questions would have risen up for us at the beginning of this pandemic, you know, about this virus thing, when it will ever stop or even disappear. Some of us would have wondered about experienced uncertainty, lack of faith, lack of hope, financial instability, and this is probably one of those moments. This is probably one of those times where Noah experiences it and then asks this question: why has God been silent all this time? You know, we remember that in the beginning of in the passage, even previously, God spoke to Noah, instructed him to build the ark and to get on it, to get on board, and then all of a sudden, God just feels like it's quiet, you know, things just get silent all of a sudden. But however, God, in fulfilling His promise, God in Noah throughout this time, throughout this journey on the on top of on the surface of water, until the ark reaches Mount Ararat, or in case, as we say in our modern day Turkey here. And so this brings us to the next portion of our passage for today, Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 to 22. The departure from the ark, from trials to thanksgiving. So I invite you to read this whole passage on your own as we follow along, as you follow along with me. So we're going to look at this passage into two different sections. First one being the emergence of dry land, found in Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 to 14, and then exiting the ark, Genesis chapter 8, verses 15 to 22. So the emergence of dry land from verses 6 to 14. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the flood waters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the water had receded and it could find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because the water still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time, the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the flood waters were almost gone. He waited another 7 days and then released the dove again. And this time, it did not come back. Now, I find it interesting to note here is that Noah sends forth the birds in order to determine the condition of the water, of the earth. Now, up until this point, we notice that God instructed Noah to build an ark, instructed him to get on board with his family, instructed him to warn the people, even, you know, who knows how long it would have taken him to confront those people to share that the great flood was coming. God warned him that the storm was going to come. He was aware of all these things. All this information was helpful for him, except that no one didn't have any information on when he was supposed to come out of the ark, when the ark was going to come at a rest. So this was a question that was raised, that no one would even ask himself. The only time that we find that God eventually and finally communicates to Noah is in 15 of chapter 8, that God finally commands Noah and his family to come out of the ark. This was God's assurance and a confirmation that the earth was dry and that humanity could start fresh again. Now, after the ark resting on Mount Ararat, and then Noah waited 40 more days and then sent out two different kinds of birds, and we read earlier, a raven and a dove. Now, a raven, being an unclean bird, would have landed on anything that it could find. Being an unclean bird, you know, would feast on literally dead bodies or carcasses. And so we found that in the beginning, the scripture describes that everybody died except no one in his family. That the flood, the great flood came in, God just wiped off humanity. So the raven would have landed on this because the raven didn't come back. The raven felt like home among the floating carcasses. Noah waited another week, another 7 days, and then sent out a dove again, which, being a clean bird, found no place to land. So it returned to the ark. Now, this was probably more disappointing than he expected for Noah. The raven vanished, first of all, because there was the first bird that he released, and then when the dove returned to the shelter of the ark, he knew it meant that the waters were still deep for her to find rest for the sole of her foot. And then another week later, Noah sends out a dove again, when this time it returned with a fresh olive leaf. So then this was a sign that Noah knew that the plants were growing fresh and life had appeared on the earth. And then we read that another week later Noah sends out a dove again for the third time, but this time it didn't return. So he knew that the water had dried up. Now, a dove bearing an olive branch is a familiar symbol of peace around the world. Now, olive in these days, in the ancient time, olive oil was added to the mixture of perfume oil for anointing of the tabernacle or of the furnishings. Both anointing oil and dove were symbolic values or meanings in Israel for the empowering of the spirit. And especially in the case of the ministry of the messianic figure. And we also read this in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13 as well. We also find in the New Testament that Jesus took up this ministry in Luke 4:18, and at his public baptism, as the Synoptic Gospel would describe as well, that the Spirit came upon him, coming upon him in the form of a descending dove, in Matthew 3:16. Now, this particular portion of the passage here teaches us that Noah patiently waited on God. on God's timing. Noah was faithful, although he was locked up in the ark for a long period of time. Now, unlike our modern day technologies that we have today, Noah didn't have any kind of a navigation system. He didn't have any GPS, any vest, a compass or anything like that. But he still trusted on the Lord. He was a sailor in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where he would end up. But he trusted God's provision. You see, sometimes in life we get so stuck on so many things in our lives. We encounter roadblocks that hinders our relationship with God. We encounter roadblocks that hinders our relationship with our family, our friends, focusing on the most important parts of our lives. We encounter the same chaos that is found in the water here as Noah finds himself in. Darkness seems to be hovering over our lives, over our reality sometimes. And the reality is that we do get anxious in life about things that don't seem really comfortable for us. And you see, in the past few days have been really difficult for us, for the BC, the British Columbia people, with the heat wave and everything, where, you know, we kind of knew that the heat wave was going to come and it was going to get hot, but then we weren't really prepared for it. So until the last minute, you know, for those people who had air conditioning, it was easy to adapt. But for those people who didn't have any AC, it was hard. You know, you went to Canadian Tire, went to Walmart, you went to Superstore, wherever it was, but you couldn't find an AC because the prices were all jacked up for profitable earnings from people. And so as we transition into the second portion of our passage, the scripture describes that Noah was instructed to leave the ark. Exiting the ark in verses 15 to 22 of chapter 8. Now this final section, this final portion of the passage, this chapter, finds God speaking twice. Once to Noah in verses 15 to 17 and once to himself, verses 21 to 22. Now for the first time ever since he went into the ark, Noah hears this divine voice inviting him to finally come out of the ark, inviting him to finally come and see that, realize and experience the new beginning, the new creation, and experience the dry land, the dry earth. Noah's reality finally kicks in as he's invited along with his family to embark on this journey of new creation, to start fresh again. So now the question that Noah needs to ask himself right now is, now that he finds himself out of the ark, how should I orient myself to dry ground? What should I do now that the past is gone and new creation lies ahead of me? And how do I adapt to the new beginning? This is also a question that you and I need to ask ourselves as well, because for the past year and a half, we've been stuck in our homes. You know, with the beginning of this pandemic has affected all of us in so many ways. We've been stuck in our homes with Zoom meetings, Zoom calls, all our online services. But now that we are transitioning back into the new normal, we must ask ourselves, how do I adapt? What difference would I make to live a new normal life? The answer in the case of Noah is more of a response. Now, the first thing that Noah does here is to engage in worship. And you find in the latter portion of the passage here that Noah offers a sacrifice, an offering. He built an altar to Yahweh. Now, this is actually a first reference in the Bible about an altar. This doesn't mean that Noah never worshipped or built an altar wasn't evident before his time. That's not the whole point. But the point here is that Noah, his first response in worship represents his faith in God, that God had brought him forth out of the water, out of this chaotic water, out of this chaotic flood, by his grace and by his power. God's salvation was offered to Noah and his family. So his worship and the building of the altar involves burnt offering. And so burnt offering involves clean animals and clean birds. As we read earlier in the previous chapters, that when God instructed Noah to invite the clean birds and the clean animals in the first place, that's this this would serve for a lot of portion that when he finally is released from the ark, that he will eventually be able to sacrifice and worship to the Lord. Burnt offering involves a voluntary offering for sin. And for the case of Noah here, it was also an act of thanksgiving and also an appeal on behalf of his family and for the rest of humanity that will thrive later on for the sin that are caused by humanity. Now, this was in response to the deliverance of God, of course, through this time. So burnt offering was a very significant thing that it was presented each morning and each evening in the tabernacle. So it was a very symbolic thing. We read in verse 21 also, just like Abel, Noah offered some of all his best of his clean animals to God, and that God was very pleased with Noah's offering. God showed his favor, just like with Abel's offering. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, where the Lord was determined to destroy the earth as a result of human wickedness, now God resolves to spare the earth from future disasters. One of the things that Pastor Carla spoke on, and that really stands out to me in her message last week, was that God remembered Noah. That God remembers you and I despite our circumstances. So friends, let's ponder that for a brief moment here. What does it mean that God remembers us? The fact that despite our circumstances we are in, that God's faithfulness never ceases, never stops. It's a significant thing to ponder. So how do we respond to God based on our passage from today? Now let's look at three things here. First is trusting in his salvation. Second is waiting patiently and obediently for God's timing. And thirdly, and lastly, offering a sacrifice of gratitude. So let's look at the first one, trusting in his salvation. Now Noah's obedient faith is seen in his building of the ark and by getting on board. So he's inviting in the first to get on board the ark. Noah would have to make a decision. You and I would have to make a decision to get on board, to get onto the ark. If Noah hadn't done that, and with his family, he wouldn't be delivered from the flood. God has provided Jesus Christ as the ark for you and I in our modern days, in our reality. That Jesus is the ark that carry us safely through the judgment, through the trials. So you and I are invited in the first place to come on board. Only thing is we need to make a response. We need to make a decision on our end. Just like what Noah did. Noah had to trust in God the process of building the ark and getting on board. So the same thing goes for you and I. The same thing applies for you and I. We had to make a decision to believe God by getting on board. Because in this time when Noah was confronting the people and was sharing about, you know, the coming judgment of God, in the eyes of the world, that Noah was seen as a foolish person, the fact that he would even build an ark for it in preparation for the coming of the storm, the coming of the judgment. But in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, "The word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That's a huge meaning there. If you have never by faith entered your faith, your eternal destiny to the Lord, do so right now in Jesus Christ, who holds his death in your place, and you must start there. And the second thing that we must respond to God remembering Noah, is to wait patiently and obediently for God's timing. Once God has saved us, we are just like children, get anxious. You know, we want our answers to be, our questions to be answered instantly. We want all our problems to be solved instantly. It seems also almost as if we try to impose our own kind of ideologies and our own commands onto the Lord. But God shapes us by making us learn to wait on him. It takes a humble heart, a person with a humility, to come before the Lord, into the presence of the Lord, to ask God, you know, to guide us, despite how long it takes for him to act, in our lives. After a year in a crowded, dark, smelly ark, no one must have felt very tired. But we find him patiently waiting, obediently waiting for the Lord to give him a signal, to give him a word. God didn't drive up the water instantly, but used the wind and the natural process. It took time. That's how God works. You know, God's timing is not our timing. God's ways are not our ways. And so sometimes we need to realize and to rely on God's timing and to believe that He is our creator and He sustains all of our lives. And He's got the best way about guiding us in our lives. God has shut Noah into the ark, and He also must bring him out of the ark by His command. Perhaps you and I have been stuck inside our house for too long because of this pandemic. But this is an opportunity for us. This has been an opportunity for you and I over the past year and a half, or who knows, maybe even longer as well, to embrace with the opportunities that we have to draw near to God, to draw near to our family, to develop that friendship, to develop that relationship with our families and friends. And then we move on to the third point is how we respond to God remembering us is by offering our sacrifices of gratitude. Now, Noah got off the ark, as we read in the latter portion of the passage. As soon as he steps out of his foot onto the ground, one would imagine that he's got a lot of things on his plate. He will have to transfer everything out of the ark into the new homes. He would have to attend to the domestic animals that he needed to take care of. He has to build a shelter for his family, a place for the livestock. He's got a lot of responsibilities on his plate. But guess what Noah does? He goes ahead and builds an altar and worship the Lord, offers a sacrifice. He knew that his sacrifice, he built an altar, and him approaching God had to be done through shed blood. He didn't count on the privileged relationship with God, because he was counted as righteous during his time. He didn't take advantage of the sin. He didn't take anything for granted. He still knew himself to be a sinner. And he offered sacrifices as the only way he could approach the holy God. Noah's sacrifices also was an expression of gratitude. And sometimes, in our lives, when we experience the goodness of God and the blessings of God, we tend to forget about it. Just like the 10 lepers who came to Jesus and asking Jesus to heal them. Out of the 10 people, only one returns to thank Jesus, to express his gratitude. Noah expresses gratitude for God's salvation, for his deliverance. He knew his own heart that there was no reason God should have spared him, but he did anyway. And so Noah expressed his thankfulness with the sacrifice. And so in the same way, God wants us to remember, you and I to remember him by coming to him through the blood of Jesus Christ as our basic approach. He wants us to reflect often on our deliverance from judgment, our trials, our circumstances, to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. One of the ways that God has ordained us for us to do it through is through the Lord's Supper. And briefly after the message, I invite you to prepare your elements for communion as we partake on the salvation that has been offered to us through Christ Jesus, our Lord, dying on the cross through his body and his blood. Like Noah, many of us, have a million of other pressing things in our lives on our plate we could be doing with our time. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of our lives and forget that the Lord and his blessing to us. And forgetting, we grow ungrateful. And ungratefulness leads to us away from God. Yeah, we got a lot of exciting things to do, opening up, the borders open now. Now we can finally visit our relatives elsewhere. We can fly, we can drive, We can visit our girlfriend, our boyfriend, whatever it is, right? We all get excited. You know, that's the reality, is that we've been stuck inside for too long, for over a year and a half now. And so it's time that we catch up on the things that we've been missing out for the past little while. Eating out with friends, hanging out with friends. But what about God? Now, I personally feel like I grew kind of not closer to God, but kind of like the opposite way. Sometimes I feel like I've been feeling lazier than ever before. Whereas, you know, before even COVID came, like physically attending the service, you know, it was a great thing. It was always a regular thing. But now, being stuck for too long, it's like you get lazier and you don't want to do anything. And that's a reality that in which we live in. Not going to church anymore. Now, is it because of this pandemic that we're no longer interested in gathering again? Or do we have this kind of fear of this virus? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves as we respond to God and to this passage. So therefore, just as God remembers us, and as we wrap up, let us respond to Him by trusting in His salvation, waiting patiently and obediently for His timing, offering a sacrifice of gratitude to Him. I love this particular verse here, and I feel like this verse, you know, speaks to all of us here, because the scripture says that, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's the same. But you and I are not the same. You know, we have to continually adapt, and we have to continually follow in obedience and in our faith to the Lord. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." Wow, that's so powerful, my friends. And as we transition to this new normal thing, that God wants to do a new thing in our lives, God wants to draw you and I closer to Him, into His presence, to start fresh and to catch up on the things that we've been missing out, you know, our cherish our moments, embrace all of the opportunities to fellowship with God and His people. And so Noah has been, you know, on this ark for so long, 150 days, 5 months, and, you know, even the scriptures describe it, you know, would have been a year, that from the beginning to the end, until he finally was able to come out of the ark. But God was going to create something new for him and his family. The major theme of the chapter is here is that is renewal and rest after tribulation. And so this chapter records the end of a storm and the beginning of a new life and hope for God's creation. And you and I are invited to partake in that, in this new beginning, in this new hope, in this new transition of life, in this new transition off to the back to the normal life. And so, friends, I hope that we're able to cherish all those moments together in the next few weeks and in the future. So blessings, and I invite you to have your elements ready for communion. And so Pastor Thane and I will lead us into communion. So blessings, friends, and we'll see you soon.